Welcome to Making Positive Psychology Work for Communities. This special podcast series is focusing on Midland County in Michigan, an area in the Great Lakes Bay region of central Michigan, where we've been working with community leaders to test practical ways that intelligently apply the latest research in human flourishing, so that together, this community can better navigate the incredible challenges and opportunities that we're all facing today. Midland is using well-being and change science to fulfill their vision of Together, Forward, Bold, an exceptional place where everyone thrives. I'm your host, Beverly Wenzel, co-creator of the Certificate in Applied Positive Psychology and the Certificate of Creating Well-Being. What I love about being part of the work in Midland, Michigan is witnessing firsthand the life-changing opportunities that are equipping people with tangible tools for today's world. Since 2018, we have trained and certified over 100 Midland community leaders in applied positive psychology, well-being, and positive change. After several months of live virtual training, participants present impact projects, which are an application of what they've learned. They're coached as they iterate on and execute the project simultaneously for collective impact on a part of the community or workplace where they have influence. Thank you so much for joining me for episode 2 of Making Positive Psychology Work for Communities. I'm so glad you're joining us because we're talking with John Searles, Superintendent of Midland County ESA. John has spent over 30 years in public education in Michigan. And in addition to that, John has a strong focus on mental health, people with disabilities, and equity and opportunity and employment. And he is now a champion for well-being and positive psychology. One thought John shared with me is how much he's enjoyed getting to know other people who also care deeply about the community, and that he appreciates well-being being a common thread that unites people in the way they work together. Welcome, John.
Thank you, Bev. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
I'm so excited to be here with you, and I'm sure our listeners will appreciate your insights as much as I do.
Well, let's see. I hope so. I'm really excited to have the opportunity to share some of the things that I've learned along the way about positive psychology, not only about being a leader in the community, but I think more importantly, probably about myself as a human being and trying to just struggle to be the best person that I can be.
I really like that approach. And I think that that's one of the powerful outcomes that positive psychology has, is just this broad influence on us in so many ways. So what drew you to this world of positive psychology and the certification?
Well, I had the opportunity to attend a conference out, I think, in San Diego. It was an educational conference back in the days before COVID. And Sean Acourt was there and he was giving a talk. And the statistics and the data that he was sharing seemed kind of unbelievable to me. He was talking about the impact positive psychology had made on these giant corporations. And I can't remember the names of the corporations, but he was talking about their productivity and about their employee belonging and talking about some things that I really didn't even understand at that point. But what drew me to it was the fact that he kept using data that was like so interesting. And it kept sucking me in. It was like, you mean your productivity can go up because you're playing around with being nice to each other, or because you want people to feel like they belong to the organization or that they like coming to work? And I've been hearing, you know, things about like Amazon, you know, and the sandwich locker. And I'm thinking, well, if you can go up to a locker or a fridge and get a sandwich anytime you want, that's going to make you want to come to work, right? And I'm thinking, well, I don't know if that's a real practical thing to be in schools. I'm not sure I want to be the first superintendent in Michigan that buys all kinds of food and coffee and supplies everybody with everything. I was drawn to the fact that I was curious about what we might be able to do as an organization to help people feel like they really were doing something bigger than themselves. Because in education, it's what I believe. I mean, I think that we as educators think that we can change the world, and we change it in little tiny ways, right? Step by step with one kid at a time. But that's something that I have come to believe over the years. And I just was curious, is there a way that others could share that desire or share in that love that I have for kids and education? And is there a way that people would be drawn to the profession and then stick with the profession? Because one of the really scary things is right now is that half of all new teachers leave the profession within 5 years. We have a crisis. That was before COVID. Now we have another crisis on top of the crisis. So a lot of things have made me think about positive psychology and the impact, but I got started thinking about it just by the fact that I saw Sean Acor at a thing back probably 5 or 6 years ago. So that's how it all started.
It's interesting how you've already started to allude to how this has affected you personally. So I'm curious if you could share with us then how this journey has affected you and impacted you personally, as well as, you know, what some of the things you started doing professionally to bring this positive psychology to life and to start impacting the industry in the way that you expressed you hope to.
Well, let's start with the personally part. So I was kind of opposed to taking a class on positive psychology, and yet I was really intrigued. So I had to get somebody to sign up with me, which I did, because I didn't want to. One thing you have to know is that I'm an off the charts introvert. And most people don't know that about me because, you know, I'm kind of a public figure. I have to speak in front of groups and all of this stuff. But when you're an introvert, all of those kinds of things take a tremendous amount of energy. It doesn't mean that you can't do it. It doesn't mean that you're not good at it. But it means it takes a tremendous amount of energy. And I feel like I have a certain amount of energy, I have a certain amount of time, and I have to really prioritize what I do. And so anyway, I thought, well, if positive psychology is probably not going to help me, but it's probably going to help the organization in some way. In our organization, we have about 300 employees, and about half of the employees are paraeducators. And those paraeducators are the hands of everything that we do. And so they're super important people, but they're hard to recruit because we don't pay them really well. And they're hard to retain because other things are more enticing, like, you know, $1 an hour more at Lowe's or something like that, you know? So I thought, well, money's important. And so we have to do our part with trying to raise salaries. But in addition to that, how can we figure out a way to help people feel more connected to the organization, and more connected with their tribe, the people that they work more directly with? And so it was coming into starting to take the classes that made me realize, well, part of the problem that we're having as an organization is somewhat related to me. And I started to think about how, you know, when I talk with people, some people think I'm really approachable. Some people think I'm not approachable. Okay, there's a dichotomy for you. Some people think that I'm warm. Some people think that I'm cold. There's another dichotomy. So I really started to think about how am I perceived as a leader in the organization. And then as I started to learn more about many of the different tenets of the PERMA model, which is the model for positive psychology that we're using here in Midland, I began to realize that, you know, some of the things that I do or some of the behaviors that I have can be really perceived differently than what is my actual intent. So a lot of times, just as an example, I tend to speak with authority. Like I'll say something as if it's the absolute truth. And I sound like it's the truth. It's not necessarily, it's just the way that I come across. And so I realized that through positive psychology that sometimes that is very off-putting to people. Like John's a know-it-all. Well, the one thing that's true, that I think is true, is that the older that I get, and the more experience that I have, the less I know. It's like the dumber I'm getting as I continue to walk. So don't tell my employer that. But anyway, positive psychology has really helped me to be more self-reflective and to think about how I'm perceived. And in thinking about how I'm perceived, it's really made me, I think, kinder and gentler. It doesn't mean that I'm now a pushover in really hard conversations or in negotiating or whatever it is. It just means that I take the time to listen more intently, to really try to understand the points of view that others are offering, and to really not necessarily push my own agenda all the time so hard, but take the time to learn and to hear what people have to say. That has impacted me. And that's just the surface, right? That's scratching the surface of how it's impacted me personally. But who I am personally, I bring to work. And so that has influenced, I think, the way that we think as an organization. One of the things that we've tried to do is to think about how are we better together? And so we've tried to be overt about being better together and try to think about how we change the language that we use around one another to be better together. I know I'm saying it like over and over again, but it's really about how do we support one another in a way that helps us to feel a sense of belonging. And the sense of belonging is about the person's work and whatever we do across the organization, but it's also about what you bring to the organization and how you as a person are working on your journey to thriving, whatever that is for you.
That's incredibly insightful, John. I think that's going to influence a lot of the rest of our conversation. So can you tell me, like, how have you noticed well-being work appearing in your community?
And so about a year and a half ago or so, I started to think about when I go to a meeting, this is before COVID, right? So I go to a meeting and then I look around the room and I think, wow, six of the people in this room have been through the same positive psychology training. And that anyway, the numbers in the circles that I travel in anyway, seem to be increasing all the time of people that have received their certificate in positive psychology. And to me, that's amazing because it provides us with a common thread or a common way to think about the work that we're trying to do. It's not the work. It's not the thing. It's not the outcome, but it's that communication platform, or it's that common uniting thread of thinking that we want everyone in our community to be able to thrive. And thriving is so different for every person, but it includes some common things like you can get by economically, that you feel that you are safe, that you have enough of fill in the blank, enough of whatever it is that you need to be a complete whole and individual. And so that's different for a lot of different folks. But the commonality, I believe, is that we are using similar language to talk in whatever the context is about the work that we're trying to do, whether we're working on something for the city or the whole county, or whether we're working on a project that's related to folks with disabilities, or whether we're trying to do some kind of accreditation, whatever it is, we're using a similar language that binds us together in a new way.
And it's so important, that language and that commonality that we're sharing in the community. So, John, let's talk a little bit about your final impact project. I'd like to give listeners a sense of what you did and why you did it.
One of the struggles we've had as an organization is attraction and retention of high-quality employees. And there's a turnover in education that's probably the worst that I've ever seen in my career. But what's interesting is that the new generations of folks don't share necessarily the same kinds of things that I do. Like, for example, loyalty is really important to me. Loyalty for the new generations is not as important to them, whether it's loyalty to the employer or loyalty to friends or whatever. Not that people don't have loyalty. It's just that they have a different sense of it compared to maybe my generation or me personally. And so I was trying to think, what can I draw from positive psychology that helps us better understand what folks are looking for? So you have multi-generations. I mean, we employ some kids that are 18, 19 years old as paraeducators. And then there's people more like my age in their early 20s. And then I'm lying about that. But anyway, that have been around a little while longer. And so people think differently. What positive psychology has helped me to do is to recognize the fact that people do think differently. I know that seems kind of elementary, but not only that, the way that we think about our employees has to be different, and we have to listen to them in different ways. And that was kind of new to me. It's like not enough to just say, well, we're going to pay you and we're going to treat you this way. And no, they want to be involved in the process. And so we started a committee called the Better Together Committee. I know, very creative stuff here. And we just started listening. And I had to bite my tongue a lot because, you know, they wanted to do like 15 surveys of this and that and I don't know what all. And I'm like, well, surveys are really not a good way to get at data. But we started with some surveys and we learned some things, and I had to kind of bite my tongue and eat a little crow too, because we learned a lot of things from the surveys that I didn't want to do. And what we learned was that people really want to feel connected in their work groups. They really care less about what I think, but they care about their teacher classroom group, and they care about what that group thinks and how they behave and what they do together and the shirts they wear and little simple things like having a shirt that's the same color and that says has the ESA logo on the front and Better Together on the back tends to be a unifying factor for people, and they can get behind it. And so the shirt's one thing, and the fact that we spend a little time talking with us with each other and processing our day and trying to help people learn to do that a little bit more has been really helpful, so that people can have a hard day and process through it a little bit. Even if they just get to say, oh, today was hard, see you tomorrow, it recognizes and validates people in a different way, and we're paying attention to that a little bit more than what we did in the past. So that's been actually more helpful than I ever dreamed would be, than it would be. And those are just a few examples of how, you know, you think about how on the outside, the real world, how things are connected through positive psychology. But then when you bring it home, you bring it inside the organization or into your own being, how that common thread can be really powerful. So for example, one of the things like I've learned to do is when I'm going to have a really difficult conversation, like a crucial conversation type thing, I've learned to rehearse that. And where the old me might have gotten really upset and, you know, told people exactly what I think, and then, you know, said, this is what you're going to do and you're going to like it. Now I will process that, you know, the front brain type of stuff that I just need to react, but I'll do it privately. I'll do it with someone that will listen to me. And then when I'm able to go into a meeting, then I've gotten that primal stuff out. And it's been studying the way that the mind works and the way that my mind works has been so helpful, because I can anticipate how I'm going to feel in a situation. I can anticipate how I'm going to react, and then I can counteract it so that I don't have to be a jerk. If I'm hardwired to react in a particular way, I can process through that now and then react in a way that's much more becoming of a leader or someone in my position, or more becoming of the man that I really want to be.
It makes so much sense, John. And as I listen to you speak, I'm reminded of that first day of class that you came in and
when I almost left because I hated it. Yeah.
I was so impressed that you stuck it out. And actually at the end of the day, I was so amazed at the degree to which I was able to witness it impact you and influence your work. And I think it's just an incredible statement. So I'm really excited to see how much work that you're doing with the ESA and that you're doing with your employees. And it's just staggering.
That's very kind. But you know, this is a complete journey, right? Every day is a journey, and it's not just me, it's everybody. And that's why I think that we've tried so hard to bring positive psychology to our employees, because whether it's things that are going on at home or with their kids or their marriage, or whether it's the frustrations at work, we all need tools to be able to do a better job. And we need models of people being human. And I've found that I don't have to be people put me on a pedestal because of my positional authority, not because of who I am, right? Mm-hmm. And I want people to know who I am as a person, that I have the same kinds of fears and anxieties and all those things that just about everybody else has. We all have them to different degrees. I had the privilege of being the leader of this organization, but anybody can aspire to that if that's what you want to do. I'm not special. I'm just a guy that has done certain things that has led me to be able to do the job that I do right now. But we all can work at connecting. We can all work at being the person that we want to be, to have the things that we want in our lives, whether it's relationships, whether it's jobs, money, cars, whatever it is, all of those things really start with understanding who we are as human beings and how we interact with one another in those critical relationships that we have.
So that's one of the things I really like about the science of positive psychology, is that it's something that is in everyone's reach, and it is something that can be taught and that can be learned, and can very simply, actually, through simple tactics, really positively impact people's lives. So, Jen, if we could do a little learning loop on the project that you did, I'll ask you the basic questions. What went well? What did you learn? And what would you do different next time?
So I didn't talk too much about the project itself, but the project was really about trying to help people feel more connected. What I hated about it was the surveys, even though this survey is because I had an attitude, right? But I was able to recognize the fact that I had an attitude and that I could actually learn from the surveys if I just kind of shut my mouth long enough to read the results and, you know, participate. So the frustrating part, I think, is that to me, so if you break down the PERMA model, you have, I don't know, 7 or 8 different things, and each one of those things can be broken down even more. And the frustrating thing is that I want everybody to have that model. But the reality is that you kind of catch things that are relevant to you. Mm-hmm. So for example, during COVID, people are stressed out of their minds for a lot of different reasons. But it's really helpful to me if sometimes I just look out the window. I'd rather not be seeing snow on the tree outside my window right now. I'd rather mm-hmm. see blue sky and sun, which I know I will see in the upcoming days, right? But we all catch the various aspects of positive psychology at different points in time. It's not like there is a formula to it. We have to expose folks to the different parts and then let them catch what's relevant to them. So that was a real eye-opener to me, that it's not necessarily formulaic. And remember, as a teacher, in your mind, you break things down and we're going to teach this first, and then we're going to teach this, and we're going to teach this next thing. And you might teach it that way, but the way that your mind catches it is totally random. And almost random is a good word, because you never know how the employee, the student, your colleague, whatever, what they're going through truly in their mind, and what will resonate with them at that moment. And then what you have to do is take the opportunity to seize upon that and then build on it. And that's what we have tried to do, is to take small bits of, in our Better Together project, take smaller snippets of the PERMA model and then launch them out and then play with them a little bit and see what sticks and then keep going. One of the things that we do in education that we're really bad at is professional learning. We'll do one thing 1 week, and then a month later we'll do something that's totally unrelated, and then we'll do something else that's totally unrelated. But we've actually focused on positive psychology for the last couple of years, and we'll continue that hopefully for a while. And some other things that are important to the actual work, like becoming not only trauma-informed, but then how do we act upon the realization that we have a kid in front of us that has certain traumas? How do we react as the adult in charge? Okay, so that fits in well with how we have to think on our feet and how we have to catch these opportunities of learning. So overall, I would say that the positive psychology has been impactful in this Better Together model because we keep bringing it up. We have a common shared language with our employees, and the professional learning opportunities around positive psychology are actually more for the human being's benefit than it is for the organization. But the fact of the matter is that we both benefit. It's mutually beneficial. And hopefully we're in the business of building people. Hopefully we're building our employees as much as we are building the kids we serve.
I think that's very insightful, John. And I love hearing how your impact project is moving just forward. And it's not a one-off. It's not something that has a short shelf life. It's something that actually will influence things in the foreseeable future and actually beyond. This has been really a great conversation. I've really enjoyed talking with you all about all this. Are you ready for the lightning round, John?
Sure, let's try it.
Okay, here we go. So what well-being practice that you learned inside the program has made the biggest difference in your own life and why?
Taking the time to recognize the fact that I am emotional and that I need to rehearse some things in my mind, the way that I need get my feelings out and then be rational and then calm. That has been very impactful for me. And I recommend that, but not everybody needs that. But for me, that's been one thing that's been very positive.
Well, congratulations on that, John. That's a good tip, I think, for all of us.
Sure.
So then, in addition to your own impact project and some of what we've talked about already, what's one thing that's happening in the community around well-being that really inspires you?
There's actually a lot of things, but I'm not going to answer the question directly. I'm going to say that I had the opportunity during the flooding in Midland, when the dams broke, to be part of the emergency operations center. And positives, there were a number of folks that were serving in that room that had had positive psychology. And we were faced with seeing some, the worst that weather and water and the destruction every day, day after day. And we were trying to all do our jobs. And positive psychology and some of the things that we had learned allowed us to pause, to recognize that we have these human emotions. Like, we want to just cry because we're seeing our community destroyed. And yet we had work to do. And so we had to really stay pulled together and focused. And I saw people, leaders from all aspects of our community in that room, many of whom have earned the certificate in positive psychology, supporting one another in ways that I had never dreamed possible. We took the hard, the nasty work, the unimaginable, and we made it, if I dare say, tolerable, if not fun. The work itself was not fun, but being together and supporting one another and moving through a natural disaster was something that we could see as not fun necessarily, but maybe inspiring. Mm-hmm. And I think that we wouldn't necessarily have had that in our community if we didn't have so many folks that have been through positive psychology. We're better together, but we're better for the fact that we've had this and we can face adversity. It's not about being defined by our circumstances. It's about being defined by who we want to be, who we want to rise up and face the challenges that come our way together. And honestly, we can take on anything and we're doing it.
I think that's a great answer to that question, John. So my final question for you is, what is the one thing you wished everyone thought about when it comes to bringing out the best in themselves or others or their communities right now?
The one thing that I want everybody to think about is that you as an individual have unique gifts that no one else has. And sometimes people spend a lifetime trying to figure that out. But no matter what your age, no matter what your occupation, no matter what you inspire to be, you have certain gifts and you need to look for them. You need to, I don't know, sometimes it takes conversations with other folks to help them, for help, a little help in trying to discern what that is. And once you figure that out, go ahead, use those gifts, but then figure out how you're being called to do whatever comes next. Because I think that when we rise to the occasion of whatever that occasion is or whatever that self-challenge is, there's something that awaits beyond. We're never done. We're never done learning. We're never done growing. And it's up to us to continue to push ourselves down that pathway. But don't forget, you have something unique that only you have. Figure it out.
That's beautiful, John. And thank you so much for the interview, for being here, and for sharing your wisdom.
Thank you. It was a real pleasure. I don't know if there was any wisdom in the thoughts, but they are genuine. And that's all I have. So I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today, Bev, and great to see you.
And you too, John. And thanks to all of you for listening. So as always, we'll be sure to put these ideas in our Surprising Stories case study ebook which you can download for free at makingpositivepsychologywork.com/communities. You've been listening to Making Positive Psychology Work for Communities with Beverly Wenzel and John Searles. If you found John's ideas as helpful today as I did, and you'd like to pay forward his generosity, then please be sure to share this podcast with a friend or a colleague. If you'd like to learn more about how you can create more well-being and collectively impact your organization or community, then contact us at the Wellbeing Lab, where we can help you form a coalition, attract funding for your work, and create positive changes in your organization or your community that can be scaled. I'll leave you with a final thought until next time, which is from Oprah Winfrey, who says, "The greatest discovery of all time is that a person can change their future by merely changing their attitude." Thank you, and take care.